Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
Thank God for His Word. His Word is so amazing. I want you to turn with me to the book of Psalms, Division 7. Psalms, Division 7 and verse 15. And when you find it, shall praise the Lord. Psalms, Division 7 and verse 15. The Word of God says this. It's going to be on our screen. It says, He made a pit. Everybody shout pit. He made a pit and digged it and is fallen into the ditch which He made. Today, we're going to minister a topic that we simply, entitled Rim Walkers. Rim Walkers. I'm going to talk to you a little bit today through the leadership of the Holy Spirit about the dangers of living too close to the edge. Amen? Take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact and a sign of unity. And let's ask God's blessings upon this word. Father, we silence every distraction, every spirit of confusion. We are under your leadership, the Holy Spirit. So just move in this place in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for the reading of your word. Let it go forth in power and demonstration of your spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence of the reading of God's word. So have you ever been to a great canyon? Anybody ever been to the Grand Canyon before? It's such an amazing place, isn't it? And when you look out at the Grand Canyon, I've been there a couple of times. When you look out at it, it's deceiving. You think, well, it doesn't look like it's that deep. But it is. It is amazing. There's a danger, though. There are people who actually fall off the sides, and it's a very dangerous place to be. And I want to talk to you a little bit today about being very cautious where people are leading you. There is what Jesus identified as deception. There is a spirit of deception that is running rampant in the body of Christ. People are getting to other people's ears, or getting into their ears, and they're talking nonsense. They're talking things that are causing trouble, stirring up strife, stirring up division, causing the body of Christ to become weakened simply because of what people are saying. And it's a dangerous concept, and it's a dangerous precedent as well. But this is nothing new to God. God knew about the dangers ahead of time. He knew that the church, he knew that people would have to deal with the possibility of division and strife and contention. He knew all these things at the head of in the very beginning. He understood that. And so what he does is he puts people in your life. He puts people in your in and it's amazing how he does it, but he puts people in your life to speak the truth into your life. And that's something that I want. I want people to be able to speak the truth in my life. I'm not looking for superficial people. I'm not looking for people who are just going to flatter me. That doesn't do anything for me. I want somebody that's going to be honest and speak truth, that they are in full of integrity. And so we're going to dive into this message, and we're going to understand a little bit more about who is really leading us. And so I want to begin this first segment. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about following caterpillars. On this picture, if Pastor Carl will put it up, it's a picture of what is known as processional caterpillars. Listen to this story. There was a biologist who performed this experiment with these certain types of caterpillars. They're known as processional caterpillars. What he did is he placed these caterpillars on the rim of a clay pot, and inside of this clay pot held this beautiful green plant. He positioned the leader, just like you would see in this picture. He positioned the leader head, and then he went from head to head, you know, head to toe, however it is, with the last caterpillar. Just put him in line. This is what happened. The tiny creatures began following the leader, and they began circling the rim of the pot, and they did it for one entire week. For a full week, they just went round and around and around on this clay pot. Not one second as he watched these caterpillars, not once did any of them break away and go to the plant and eat from that plant. Eventually, what happened? All the caterpillars died from exhaustion and from starvation. They all died from those two things. So what is the point? Well, this is the point. The crowd, everybody say the crowd. The crowd controlled their direction. The crowd eventually controlled their destiny. And unfortunately, the crowd controlled their demise. We are coming upon Holy Week. And one of the concepts, Brother Antonio, in Holy Week was the crowd. The crowd yelled, crucify Jesus, crucify Jesus, and free Barabbas. Notice how the crowd, at one time, the crowd was applauding Christ. But now the crowd has turned on Christ. We are in a society and a culture today where the crowd seemingly is what people are following. I noticed just the other day at Daytona Beach, and as Pastor Carl pointed to, with the mindset of young people today, Daytona Beach was filled with a lot of young people, crowds, if you will. And then because of the number of crowds, there was a number of violence. And when you get people together, they party and they get rambunctious. And before you know it, they're pulling guns out, just like they did last night in downtown Memphis. And so you see what's happening in our world today. People are following the crowd. If you get anything out of this message, I want you to get this. Don't follow the crowd. Follow the crown. Follow Jesus Christ. Amen? He is the one that we need to follow. And so let me just be honest with you. There's always a price to pay when you break away from the crowd. There's always going to be a price to pay. And you have to be willing to pray or to pay that price. You have to be willing to do it. And when I mean pray that price, was a time in my life when I had to make a decision. I'm a young man, I'm only 20 years old, and I began working this job in Mountain View, Arkansas. And I had to make a decision. I could hang out with the crowd during the breaks and during lunchtime and listen to all the nonsense and the different things that they were saying, or I could take my Bible, which I took with me everywhere I went, and go out onto the docks and read and study. And that's some of the price that you have to pray, or the price that you have to pay when you are deciding, I'm going to break away from the crowd. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? So I want to talk to you about some dynamics. And there are four dynamics. Now, pay close attention, because the Holy Spirit has confirmed this already today several times. But I want to talk to you about four dynamics of the people in your life. And number one, and if you don't go, don't get too ahead of me, Pastor Carl. Number one is the right reason. When you're talking about people in your life, they better be there for the right reason. Listen, Jesus even warned the church that in the last days there will be false prophets that are rising among us. False prophet doesn't necessarily mean a false preacher. A false prophet could just be somebody that's in your life that is spreading, you know, things to disseminate the destiny in your life, to cause you to go the wrong direction, that you will miss out on God's ultimate plan for your life. False prophets doesn't always mean a false preacher. And Jesus basically said it like this: you will know them by their fruits. And so if a person is in your life right now, and this is and you're trying to discover the right reason, but all you hear from them is division and strife and contention and hearsay and gossip, can I keep on going, and poison, and hear a bunch of mess, they are not there for the right reason. Amen? One of the most important facets of true ministry is serving for the right reason. It's the concept of the title or the towel, which I preached a while back. It's understanding pure motives. It's distinguishing between an agenda and an anointing. There are two different concepts there. Some people may be gifted, And they may have a particular skill set. They may have talent. But if there's no anointing on those gifts, on those skill sets, and on those talents, you know what it is? It's only performance. It's all it is. It's only performance. I want to show you something out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13. Look with me at this scripture. I love how the Apostle Paul deals with Corinth. In verse 13, he says, every man's work shall be made manifest. That's just a King James way of saying made known. Shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed, how? By fire. And look what it has, look what the next line is. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But look at the next verse. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And so this is what God is doing, I believe, in these last days. God is distinguishing who is the remnant church and who is just in it for their own personal agenda. And so we have to be cautious about not allowing people in our life for the wrong reason. Amen. They need to be in there for the right reason. And this is the thought. This is the principle. The fire will always reveal truth. Listen, in my life, this has happened to me so many times. The fire always reveals truth in my life. And so I'm going to build my life on the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Number two, let's look at the next one. Not only the right reason, but the right season. Everybody say right season. The right season. Listen to what Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, to everything there is a season and a time, to every, notice what he says, every purpose under the heaven. Well, this is the unfortunate truth. The unfortunate truth is this: some people and some things are completely out of season. I'm telling you, they're completely out of season. I want to show you in the next couple of verses here something that the Apostle Paul had to deal with this Corinth church. Corinth was a very wicked seaport city. You've heard me say this before. They had to deal with so much sexual sin. They had to deal with the promiscuity. They had to deal not only with that, but with pride, with arrogance, with the works of the flesh. There was so much going on inside this city and inside this church. The Apostle Paul had to write two letters to them, right? And so here we go. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He says in verse 2, he says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Why? Because for hereto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Let me pause for a moment. So what is Paul doing? The Apostle Paul, Sister Haley, is doing this. He's identifying, he's locating where they are at in their spiritual walk. He is locating their season. Right now he's thinking, well, maybe they're just babes in Christ and I can just fill them. I was trying to give them, meat, but then he realizes the milk is too much for them. People, we have to understand, people may be in your life, but in the wrong season. We need to distinguish the right season. Let's continue. But he says this, he says, for you are yet carnal, and this is how he knows they're carnal. Are you ready? He says, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Wow, you're talking about getting the attention of the body of Christ right there. He's saying this is the fruit, if you will, of carnality. There's envy, there's division, there's strife. God help us. So how do I know if I'm out of season then? How do I know if somebody in my life is out of season? How do I know if this is right, if it's a right fit? Well, the answer is very simple. Is you should ask yourself this question about the situation you're in. The simple question is this: are you or are they bearing fruit? If I'm in the right season, then I want to bear fruit. Amen? I want to bear fruit. If I'm not bearing fruit, then I need to pause for a moment and say, God, what is going on in my life then? Are there things in my life that are just not right that I'm not bearing fruit? Now you can look at it in an outward way and say, there's somebody that's coming in my life and What kind of fruit are they bearing? Are they bearing fruit, or is it just a bunch of nonsense? Is it carnality? When stirring up envy and when stirring up strife and stirring up division, guess what? That's not bearing fruit. So you see people in your life for the right reason and the right season. Number three, this is the most important one, I think, is the right people. You have to have the right people in your life. How do you know if that's the right person for the job? You know, I know people like, you know, Pastor Carl, he's in a management position. Some of you have been in a management position before, and you know what it's like to hire people. You kind of understand the human resource aspect of hiring people, going through the interview process. But how do you know, beyond just looking at a resume, how do you know if that is the right person? Let me ask you this, because most of us have been this direction, and some of you are going in this direction, but how do you know if this is the right person to marry? How do you know that this is that beautiful bride or that handsome, husband, to be, whatever he may be, groom, is the right person to marry? Let me ask you this. How do you know if this person is the right person to teach your children? How do you know if that person's teaching is at the right person? See, I think we've covered quite a bit of the basis, haven't we? Well, this is the practical answer. Let me just give it to you. How do I know? Well, this is how you know. You get to know them. You get to know them. Let me tell you why. Because time will tell. Time will tell. I mean, I don't advise people to wait 5.5 years unless God gives you the strength to wait for 5.5 years before you get married. I mean, I know people who've known each other for just a couple of months, got married, and they've been married for 40, 50 years. I mean, that's awesome. But I will tell you this, time will tell. I've always told people that have become a pastor or become a youth pastor, especially a youth pastor, I've always told them, I said, listen, your first day at a job lasts 2 years. If you can't stick it out for 2 years, then you probably need to think about going some other direction. Your first day lasts 2 years. Why? Because it takes about 2 years to know who people are, to see if this is the right person for the job. Well, you get to know them. Let me tell you, eventually, the seed that has been planted, the hiring investment, the courtship, the educational choice, eventually it will produce fruit, good or bad. Eventually, time will tell. You're going to find out if it's going to produce the right fruit, good or bad. And as I say, Sister Charlotte, as Joyce Meyer wrote, he can always tell what type of fruit someone has is when they're squeezed. Amen? And so this is a very important aspect. Now look what Paul does in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's go to verse 4. Look what he says next. He says, for while one says, I am of Paul, and the other, I am of Apollos. He says, are you not carnal? So he's back on this soapbox about carnality, which means worldly. Then he says, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers, both ministers, by whom ye believe, that you trust, even as the Lord gave to every man. Now look at verse 6. He says, I've planted, Apollos watered. There's nothing wrong with either two of those things, those works, right? But this is what he says, but God, everybody say God. God gave what? God gave the increase. We're talking about the right people in our life. So then neither is he that plants anything, or nor he that watereth, right? But it's God that gives the increase. Let me show you something about the right people in your life. You ready? If you're ready, say I'm ready. The right people will always give God all the glory. The right people in your life will always point to God. They will always point to God. You know how many board meetings I've been in where they didn't point to God, but they pointed to the money? They pointed to the issues at hand. They're not pointing to God, not looking to God, not trusting God. I want people in my life that gives God all the attention and all the glory. Can you say amen? Right? This is what the right people will not. This is what the right people will. Well, I don't know why I put this down, but I just thought it was important. The right people will not say this. Let me just tell you that. They will not say, well, they can't do this without me. Have you ever had someone on your team think, well, they can't? How many times, Pastor Carl, on baseball or football or basketball, how many times you've heard one of the star athletes say, well, they can't do it without me, right? You know, that's selfishness. And that is the wrong person. Eventually, you will see this. Number four, the last one, the right touch. So you have the right reason, the right season, the right people, but you need the right touch. Let me show you something. A few days ago, and yes, I like to do this, I was cleaning the house. And this thought came to me out of nowhere as I'm cleaning the house. This thought came to me, no matter how much I tidy things up around here, it will never match to what my beautiful Crystal can do. That was the thought I had. And so this is what I want to say. Some elements in life, they need a woman's touch. Amen? All the ladies say, amen. Now, let me interject a truth. There are some ladies just don't have that gift to clean house, right? You open the car door and all the trash falls out of the car. Pretty much, though, the ladies that I know have ever met, they are very good housekeepers. But there's some things in life you just need a woman's touch, right? Look at your neighbor and say, hey, neighbor, do you have the right touch? Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 25. It says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and look what she does. She touches his garment. Verse 28 says, For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, or the best word for that is immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now look what happens next. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, spun around basically, all through the whole crowd, through the whole press, and said, who touched my clothes? I like what happens next, because his disciples, they come to Jesus and they say, well, you see this whole multitude surrounding you, thronging you. And this is what you have to say about that? Who's touched me? There's hundreds possibly of people, all the scores of people around you, and you're wondering, who touched me? Let me say this. You can have the right reason, you can be in the right season, and you can even have the right people, but not having the right touch can poison your pursuit, halt your dreams, and damage your dreams and halt your hopes. Got to have the right touch. That's what I want in my life. When I'm at times, God has got me right close to the edge, and where he's leading me, I will follow. And it may be right at the edge at times in my life. But I want the right touch. I want the right touch. This is our goal. Brother Vernon, our goal is to lead, to inspire, and earn the respect of the right people who are here for the right reason, in the right season, and have the right touch. Amen? Can we say, I'm committed to that? I'm committed to that type of leadership, that type of aspect in my life. This brings me to my life point. My life point is this, and if you'll put it up on the screen, Pastor Carl, it's this. Choose to follow he who is above you and not just the one who is before you. Choose to follow he who is above you and not just the one who is before you. It's just like those caterpillars, those processional caterpillars put in place. Oh, it may be going the right direction, but you should stop sometime in your life and wonder, in this peregrination, in this journey of your life, and look to God and say, God, am I going the right way? Am I going the right direction? Are they leading me, the person I'm following or listening to, are they leading me to the house of God or from the house of God? Are they leading me to study the scriptures, to know more about God, or to lead me away from God? Amen? So look at Psalm 7:15. Psalms division 7 and verse 15. He said, he made a pit and he digged it and is falling into the ditch which he had made. So we're choosing to follow he who is above us and not just the one who is before us. So the pursuit of popularity and public opinion can damage your destiny. I love this idea, Brother Jeff, and it's so wonderful to see Brother Jeff and Sister Pam here. And I love this idea, Brother Jeff. When you look at this thought about pursuing popularity and pursuing public opinion, this is where a lot of people are today. They want the most likes they can get on social media, and they're willing to do whatever they can do. They're willing to act a fool to get attention. It's like the boy that's in class and he's just acting up in the middle of class, and he's just trying to get attention, right? But it's the wrong way to get attention. And I like this thought, because then you look at Jesus, Sister Charlotte, and Jesus in the Gospels, you see that when he's healing people, he's telling them, don't go tell people about it. He's hiding away from the crowds. He's decreasing. He does not want all the attention. And everything he does, he's trying to always point to the Father and give God the glory. I think we can learn a lot from that mindset, don't you? And so let's look at this. Three truths, and I'm going to be quick. Three truths about the rim walkers. If you're ready, say I'm ready. Number one, you might find this funny, but it's the truth. If you want everyone to like you, then sell ice cream. If you want everyone to like you, sell ice cream. I want to show you something. Look at Psalms division 7 and verse 15, the very first of this scripture. What did it say? He made a pit. I mean, he's beginning to do. And there's a possibility that there were people around wondering, what in the world? You start digging a hole in the middle of nowhere. People are going to go, what in the world is this guy doing? You know, they're trying to figure him out, okay? But let me show you something about the pit. The pit that we all have to deal with is this. It's the internal emotion of being liked, of being cared for, being appreciated, being affirmed, and being respected. That's the pit that we all deal with, right? And because of you ever had a pit feeling before? Because of the pit feeling, we find ourselves trying to make people feel like we want to be felt. Okay? Let's go a little further. True leadership is not about making everybody happy. It's not about making everybody happy, right? This is what I've learned. I've learned some people will never like you no matter what you do. I mean, you could do everything and try to do everything you can in your power to have them like you, and it will just never break. They will never like you. And so this is the danger of having that mindset, because I know I'm speaking to people pleasers right now. The dangerous thing is this, the need to please everyone forces compromise and masks true character when you do that. So are you a people pleaser or are you a God pleaser? We're talking about rim walkers right now. Look at Acts chapter 5 verse 26. It'll be on your screen. It says, then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. In verse 27, it says that when they had brought them, they set them before the council and the high priest and asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? Let me pause for a moment. I feel like God is about to do a miracle in somebody's life. You're in this room. I just have the Holy Spirit all over me. I feel like God is about to perform a miracle. I don't know what you're facing, but I feel like God is going to perform a miracle in your life. I pause that. Let's get back into it. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. What was the doctrine? The doctrine of Jesus. And intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Whose blood? Well, Jesus' blood. Look what Peter says in verse 29. Then Peter and the other disciples answered and said the most famous words we all said before. We ought to obey God rather than men. Folks, just like I said last Sunday, and if you weren't here last Sunday, that was one of the most fantastic messages I believe I ever preached behind this pulpit. But I'm telling you, we have to make a choice. Am I going to obey God or am I going to obey man? Amen? Let me tell you, there's no ice cream in hell. So you can spend all your energy trying to get everybody to like you at the expense of your character, your moral principles, at the expense of the calling that God has put on your life. You could do all that, try to get everybody, and it's that wood, that hay, that stubble that's going to be burned up. I don't want that to happen in anyone's life, especially in my life. I don't want that to happen. Number two is this. We're talking about rim walkers. Truths and principles and dynamics about rim walkers. People are reluctant to break away from the masses. Let's look at the next part of this key verse. Psalm 7:15, the second part of that. And it says, and he digged it. All right? So he's digging. So if the pit is the object, then digging is the action. Anybody ever dug a hole? And I don't mean literally dug a hole. Have you ever been in a conversation and you perhaps were out in a foyer and you were just talking and running your mouth and you dug a hole? You said things that cannot come back. You made a mistake. You dug a hole. That's the action right there. This is what mentors in my life used to say, and many of them. They used to say, if your friends jump off a cliff, are you going to jump too? Anybody heard that expression before? Anybody ever had it said to you before? If your friends are going to go do that, are you going to do that? Right? If it's dangerous? I think one reason people are reluctant to break away from others is because they are afraid they might offend someone. Well, I'm going to keep my ties close to them. I stay close because, you know, I don't want to offend them. I don't want to hurt their feelings. You know, I'm afraid that, you know, all this, you know, there's a lot of things we could talk about. But I think that's the number one reason, Pastor Crystal, is that they're afraid they're going to offend someone. I'm going to show you something. This is going to revolutionize your life. Notice how Jesus dealt with people that, you know, were offended. Okay? Are you ready? Say, I'm ready. Look at Matthew 15. Matthew 15 and verse 12. It's on your screen. Then came his disciples and said unto Jesus, saying unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And look what Jesus says in verse 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Look what he does. Verse 14, he says, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, what happens? They both fall in the ditch. Basically, Jesus is saying, hey, look, I'm just going to let God take care of it. I'm not going to sit there and try to convince and try to argue and try to put my side of the things with it. It's just like they're going to act that way, then they're going to act that way. I'm going to let the Father handle it. And I think I'm speaking to somebody right now in your life. Let God handle it. Notice this. Not only does God do the planting, but guess what else God does? God also does the uprooting. God does the uprooting. And there's nothing like it when God begins to uproot. I mean, it's almost a casualty in the body of Christ when it happens. But sometimes it just has to happen. Amen? Let me tell you this. There's too much at stake settling for following the crowd. There's too much at stake for your life. And so don't feel reluctant to break away. I mean, it doesn't matter what level you're. You could be in junior high and you just got to break away from those toxic people that are in your life. And you say, I'm not trying to offend you. And they may get offended, but you just go on. God will provide for you better friends. God will always replace. And it may take a season. It takes some time. It could be at your work. It could be in your life. It could be so many things going on right now. But I'm telling you, let God take care of the situation. Last one, number three. Probably the most important one. Number three is this, and it's on your screen. A majority vote and court opinion is not always God's choice. A majority vote and a court opinion is not always God's choice. See, there's a misconception today, and it's wrongful teaching. They say, well, when a president becomes president, it was God's choice, doesn't matter. I'm not into politics. And by the way, the scripture that they're using has nothing to do with presidents and has everything to do with kings. We live in the United States, right? The only king that I am concerned with is Jesus, my king, right? So we need to understand this. I think I put it on your screen. If you'll look at it, I think it'll be very good for you to read it. But the late Catholic Archbishop Fulton Sheen, some of you probably know who this is. He says this, and it should be on your screen, I believe. He says, moral principles do not depend on a majority vote. Wrong is wrong. So let's get politics out of here. Let's not be political. Let's become biblical. Listen, I don't agree with everything that's going on in our current administration. I don't agree with everything that's happening. But you know what? It's lesser two evils right now. And I just got to trust God that God is going to bring revival back to America. And my Lord, do we ever need revival? True, authentic, genuine. You know what revival means? It means returning back to God. Coming back to life. We need it. Blytheville needs it. Arkansas needs it. We need revival. Look what happens here. Last one, Psalm 7 and 15, the last part of that verse. It says, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. I feel like America has fell into a ditch because of congressional or decisions that has been made. And we're trying to dig ourselves out of it, right? So if the pit is the object and digging is the action, well, what is the ditch? The ditch is the trap. And God wants to get us out of the trap. God wants to get you out of the trap. But this is the good news. The good news about the trap is you don't have to stay there. You may have been this. I may be describing you right now. You may have been that person and there you go. You dug a hole and you looked at it and you admired it. Oops, fell in. Now you're trapped, right? What's going on? What am I going to do now? You may be in a situation where your back is against the wall and you just have no clue. I have good news for you. God knows where you're at. He knows you're living where you're living. He knows that you're in need of Him. All He's looking for is somebody that says, God, here I am. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I made some missteps, but I need you to come and rescue me from the mess that I put myself in. Can somebody say amen? Look at Psalms division 40, one of my favorite scriptures. The writer says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a what? A horrible pit out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Listen, the pit is not God's choice for your life. That's never been His plan for you to be stuck in the pit. Sometimes pits, I realize, are avoidable and you can see them when you're walking, but there are sometimes that it's not anything you did. Sometimes pits are not avoidable. They're unavoidable and you find yourself messing up and going the wrong direction. But I'm telling you this morning, God is known, and it's throughout the scriptures, God is known for taking people from the pit and placing them into the palace. And you may be that person today, but just trust the Lord and let Him take you to where He's intended to take you all this time. Can somebody give the Lord a good hand clap of praise? I want God to do that for me. I want God to, when I make a mistake, God be quick to get me out of the trouble. I look to the Lord. I look to the hills where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. I need Him in my life. Praise God for His love and His truth. So how do I apply this to my life? So what, now what? How do I go from auditing this message to applying it? One more time. Let's put it back together. Like Legos. Psalm 7 and 15. He made a pit. He digged it. And is fallen into the ditch, which he made. Look at the life point. Remember, choose to follow He who is above you. and not just the one who is before you. So my prayer for you, all of us today, is this, is that we'll avoid these pitfalls, the pitfalls of life, that we'll avoid them, avoid heartache, avoid the wrong investments, avoid acting out of anger, acting out in jealousy, acting out in these works of the flesh, causing contention, causing strife, causing division. Avoid these mistakes, right? And simply just say, I'm going to follow He who is above me. I'm going to follow God. I believe the best way to make true and pure application of this message is to stay committed to follow God. How many can say, I'm committed to follow God? There's a scripture, when I was a young man, I was attending Pastor Crystal's home church in Turkey Creek. And it was almost every Sunday morning, I could hear the pastor say this scripture. And I believe that the reason she said this was for this particular scripture to be embedded in my life. Because I would need this 30 years later. I would need this scripture. Look at it with me. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. He says, come and let us return unto the Lord. For He has torn and He will heal us. He has smitten and He will bind us up. After 2 days will He revive us. And the third day He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Does that sound familiar, Pastor Crystal? His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. So, rim walking is a dangerous task. It is. But it can be a fruitful task if God is the one who is leading us. I'm telling you, I feel like, Brother Jeff, for the last 4 years, I felt like I've been rim walking. I had an episode the other day, Wednesday, right before church. I couldn't even walk from my bedroom to the kitchen. It was so severe. And I've been doing so well. I've been riding my bike. I've been doing all these things, and it's just out of nowhere. But you know what? I want to follow the fire by night and the cloud by day. And some of you right now, you're at that point on this close to the edge. And you're looking down to, hey, hello down there, way down there. You know, you're just right at the edge and you're wondering, man, am I ever going to get to a place where I feel a little more secure? It could be with your finances. You could be living from paycheck to paycheck. And now you're seeing the gas prices are closing in on $4. And you're thinking, how am I going to make it? It could be you're dealing with a health crisis. And you're thinking, man, you're thinking not in terms of tomorrow, but in terms of 10 years from now. What am I going to do 10 years from now? It could be in your marriage. And you're thinking, any day, we're going to end up in divorce court. And you're thinking to yourself, how is this ever going to... You're right on the rim. Remember, follow He who is above you, not just He who is before you. See, what God has joined together, let no man pull asunder. Follow God. Follow Him with all your heart. I love this. It's a dangerous task, but it's a fruitful task. If God is the one leading us, stand together. I want us to read this together. Very familiar Psalm, Psalms 23, and we're going to close. Let's all read this at the count of three. 1, 2, 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that beautiful? You sounded wonderful, by the way. Let me compliment you. You sounded wonderful reading that. But let me ask you this question. Have you ever noticed, when you look at Psalms 23, have you ever noticed that after our shepherd has made us to lie down in green pastures, that after our shepherd has led us to the still waters. After our shepherd has led us in the paths of righteousness. After walking with us even in the face of death and even in the face of our enemies. Have you ever noticed after we follow him, what is following us? Do you know what's following us? Amen. Say it louder. It is goodness and mercy that follows us. When we follow God, goodness and mercy follows us. That means if you're at the edge of that cliff and you're following God and you're walking this rim and you're wondering, am I ever going to get relief? Look behind you, because if you're following God, goodness and mercy is right on your trail. And I know this for a fact, you will never be able to outrun goodness and mercy. I'm looking at people right now that's getting ready to be swallowed up, embraced, beginning to be in just God's goodness and God's mercy is about to just apprehend your life. Are you ready for what God has for you? Hallelujah! Someone shout hallelujah! Goodness and mercy. It's about time. All you've seen is trouble. All you've seen is hurt. All you've seen is pain. All you've seen is void. But God says, get ready, because goodness and mercy is about to catch you. My, oh my. Let it rain. Let it rain. Goodness and mercy. Somebody give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Woo! I got that Holy Ghost hoodow going on. Someone say, woo! Woo! Praise God. Now, while your head is in your bow, your eyes are closed. What if we all in this room were determined to follow God? We're determined to follow He who is above us. Not just he or she who is before us, but to follow He is above us. Let me ask you, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, maybe you're here today. You say, Pastor JC, I don't know how you knew, but that's me. I'm walking a rim right now. I feel like that any moment I can make a misstep and become a casualty in the church. I don't want that to happen. I want my footholds, I want them to be strong. I want them to be solid. And I'll be honest, maybe you're sitting here today and you're saying, I'll be honest, Pastor JC, I've not been following God. I've been following feelings. I've been following offense. I've been following hurt. I've been following things that are just not helpful. Been following things that are leading me the wrong way, or people perhaps, or ideas even that are leading me the wrong way. And I just want to follow God. And nobody's looking around. But you're here and you're saying, Pastor JC, that's me. I want to get back on track. I want to follow Him. With a public confession of simply raising your hand, and you say, that's me. Pray for me, Pastor JC. I just want to raise your hand and be honest before the Lord. I want to follow Him. I see hands all in this room. I want to follow Him. I want to follow He who's above me. I want to follow Him. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. That honesty is the beginning, I really believe it, of a transition that's going to take place in your life. I really believe that God is going to begin to move and shuffle things, even people in your life, even ideas, whatever it may be. God is going to align. I wanted to title this about alignment, but I really believe that God is going to realign some things in your life. Getting the right people.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.